Welcome back. So my guest tonight is Scott Shera. You can go to his website. Main one is ouramazinggrace.net. You can also go to Grace Shera, that's S-C-H-A-R-A.com, and sign up for email updates. And he also has a Substack, ouramazinggrace.substack.com, where you can get up-to-the-minute information, or you could just go to, I'm sorry, Grace Shera, S-C-H-A-R-A, .com, and get on their email list. And I would encourage you to donate to this cause. It's very, very important that this get more airtime because, 1.3 million people killed from their protocols in this country is way outrageous to me. It's more than has died in several wars. So anyway, so getting back to our show here, I want to, really highlight the fact that you started a national movement and you actually put out a documentary with several other people called Breaking the Oath. And do you want to tell us a little bit of how that happened, Breaking the Oath? I mean, it's an excellent documentary. I'd encourage everyone to watch it.
Well, thank you for that. People can find it either on ouramazinggrace.net. It's prominently displayed. There's a link right on the homepage, and it takes you right to the Rumble station that it's on. If you go on Rumble, you can just type in Breaking the Oath, and it pops right up. And it's an hour and 40-minute film. It started in October of 22. That's how long it took to produce it because it's funny to look at the history of it because we had a podcast host that contacted me and said, Scott Grace's last day is so horrendous. You should do a 30-minute documentary and have a doctor comment on her just on her last day so people can understand what's going on in hospitals. So we started with that in mind. I contacted a local producer in Green Bay, Wisconsin, who I knew he really liked Grace. He's been following the story. He had me on his podcast early on. His name is Jeff Wagner. And I said, Jeff, would you be willing to do this? He said, sure, I'd love to do it. Well, then ultimately, a lot of things happened. I met Nurse Aaron and then Stacy L. Gresnick and then Vera Sheriff. And then my wife and I rescued Robert Pazer from a Green Bay hospital. And then you realize, well, all these people need to be in the film. And then we frame the film. So first it starts with Grace's story. And then it moves on to Dr. Moon, who's a pediatrician, explaining the fear. Then Nurse Aaron explains how the hospitals were used, the incentives with the hospitals, how the nurses were paid an exorbitant amount of money to follow orders and had to have gag orders so they wouldn't say what's happening. Then ultimately Vera frames the whole thing in a much wider view. Vera's a Holocaust survivor. I've done about 30 interviews with her jointly, and she explains that we are in a second Holocaust right now. It's worldwide this time, and so there's nobody to save us because the whole world's in on it. And then finally, we close with a little bit of hope, which was Robert Pazer's rescue story. We talked through that at the end of the film, and so that at least people can see there is a way to protect yourself if you do get into a hospital. The first step, of course, is realizing these are not safe zones. If you think they're safe zones, you'll never do anything to protect yourself.
So with Robert Pazer, I remember listening to an interview where you put out a number that you can call that some retired medical professional is helping people get out of the hospital. So if you had a cell phone with you and you're needing help in getting out of a hospital, you can call this number.
Correct. And how that on Grace's website, ouramazinggrace.net, if you go there, you'll see that there's a tab called Hospital Rescues. And when you click on that tab, you'll see that there's a few different things. One is that toll-free number, the hospital hostage hotline. And then there's also links to forms that you need, power of attorney and medical directives forms, to prepare yourself for a hospital stay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really helpful information. So, yeah, I want to make sure that people use that as a resource, ouramazinggrace.net, because this is more common. I mean, I'm seeing people. It's not like this COVID thing ended. I'm seeing people in the hospital. We just had a case locally, actually, a 73-year-old man, same thing. Low oxygen. Someone recommended that she get an ambulance and have him go to the hospital. And, you know, I couldn't get the wife to get his medical records. She has pretty severe, you know, radiation sickness, can't handle the 5G in the hospitals. And you know, we just had to watch his demise because I didn't have that power. Like she, you know, as a wife. And I have my own life, and I kept telling her, you've got to do something, you know. I mean, it's very important that you, you know, get him out of the hospital. But she waited until it was too late, and she brought him home, and he died at her house, you know, not very much long later. So, I mean, don't wait. Don't hesitate. When they do these kind of protocols, I mean, she at first said, I can't take him out because he needs the oxygen. I said, I know what an oxygen machine is. He's not – he refused a ventilator. They're not giving him oxygen. I mean, just like Grace. They never gave her oxygen, did they?
They did. They
initially?
You know, what's strange is that, you know, she was just on a regular cannula to start with, and that's right. That's all she ever needed, if even that. But then they ratcheted up to a what's called a Vapotherm, which is a high-flow cannula, and then to a BiPAP. Which is, it's really ridiculous now that I understand what is really involved. I went, God has a way of orchestrating events. And I went into a different hospital 3 days after Grace died. And I just about died on October 16th. And that hospital turned me around in 24 hours. And they did that because they did not follow the protocols whatsoever that they did with Grace. And so I say God has a way. I think that he put me in that specific hospital so that I could objectively see the truth compared to the lie that was happening in the hospital Grace was at.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, geez. What a story. What a story. So if... So, you know, you just go to the website, you know, basically to get the, you know, what am I talking about? I'm trying to get on my sheet of paper, my cheat sheet here.
Well,
to get the film, like I want to download the film, Breaking the Oath. So if I download the film and get the director's version, then I'm supporting the film itself. And people can get the free version, but if you... You can. I actually put a link in the chat room. Breaking the Oath, the new just released documentary, and it has a testimony of numerous well-known experts in the area, but it also has more than the Rumble video. So there's other things. So you can actually download it. Is it available on DVD? Just curious.
It is not. No, okay. It's either downloadable with the director's cut, which that. That money goes directly to the producer director. He didn't charge a penny to put this thing together. I mean, it's phenomenal. So I would encourage people to download the director's cut, but otherwise you can watch the free version on Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is great. So this hotline, the hospital hostage hotline, how did this woman get involved? I mean, I think that's great. She donated an 800 number. She's got to be busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, her name is Laura Bartlett. I've gotten to know her, you know, a lot of people in the medical freedom movement, but she, her family is in the medical field, and so she got educated as to what it actually takes to negotiate and get people out of the hospital. And so she put that in place in the event that somebody has an emergency, like your friend, to get her husband out of the hospital. How do you get him out? But, you know, it's bigger than that. You don't want to get to a point where you're calling a toll-free number to have somebody help you in a rescue. You really want to prepare ahead of time. And how do you prepare ahead of time? The single most important thing you can do is understand that these are places that want to kill your loved one. If you are under that impression, then you'll prepare. So what does preparation look like? The single most important thing I learned with Robert Pazer's rescue is what informed consent is. So informed consent is two words. The medical community has a legal and ethical obligation to provide informed consent. Their medical code of ethics, section 2.1.1 says specifically that they have to provide informed consent. So what does that mean? And if I would have known what it meant when Grace was in the hospital, she'd be alive today. You know, I'm not a dummy, so I get what it means. But what I mean is, what are really my rights? So when you go into a hospital, you have a right to know and ask questions about every single thing that the doctor is doing, how it works. I mean, we're blind because we just are. We walk into a hospital, we're programmed that whatever the course of action they start, they just do it. And we just sit back, and you might ask a question here and there. And, oh, yeah, I just, like with in Grace's case, you know, Grace died at 7:27 in the evening on October 13th. At 6:15, they gave her morphine. At 6:43, the doctor called Cindy and I at home and said, Grace had another good day. I just gave her morphine. Well, that's not informed consent. That's telling you what he did after the fact. And right. Most of the time, they don't even tell you. Sometimes you ask a question, and they say, oh, yeah, I just did this, I just did that. Informed consent means before the event takes place, you talk with the doctor, you ask questions, all the questions that you have, take notes, find out the pros, cons, features, advantage, what are the alternatives, and then you take the time, take all of that information, look it up yourself, have somebody on the outside that double-checks it, and then you give your consent as a separate event, not under pressure.
That's exactly. And then there's patients' rights. You know, they used to post that in the hospital, that the patient has these rights. And now you don't see that posted anywhere, but that's part of patients' rights.
Well, it's a critical part of patients' rights. And so what we encourage people to do is download the form so you have a power of attorney form. You've got to have an advocate if you can't advocate for yourself. This is not the place to be nice. You need to be blunt. You are hiring the doctor and the hospital for a service. And the services you want are on the medical directives form. That is also downloadable from the website. So in Robert Pazer's case, I went into the hospital with his sister was power of attorney, went through the medical directives form with Robert. This is my first time I used it. So now we have on that form, you know, no DNR, no remdesivir, no jab, you know, a whole list of things. Now we have a meeting with the doctor. So now he knows the gig is up. Robert had already been given 6 doses of remdesivir. So he was on death row. And even after we had the meeting with the doctor, and now he knew we're taking over, we're being in charge of Robert's care, not the doctor anymore. The nurse came in 45 minutes later to give Robert the COVID flu jab. And we said no jabs right in the form. So even though you have a form, there's never been a form that's ever been designed that can save your life. You've got to pay attention and stand up for your rights while you're there.
Exactly. I totally agree. I mean, I know people that they know what the hospitals do. So they insist on sleeping over. You know, they won't leave the hospital, and they'll sleep on a little bench next to their loved one because they do, you know, all kinds of stuff in the middle of the night, too. That's when they do the organ harvesting, you know?
You've got to stay there. It's not an option anymore. In Grace's case, the doctor put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace. The Department of Safety and Professional Services, which is the regulatory agency in Wisconsin for the doctors and nurses licenses, said that that's fine. They said in a hospital setting, doctors can put DNRs on anybody they want without consent. So Just wrap your head around that. So that's why you need to be prepared. You have to understand that they have, you know, you alluded to the agenda earlier, the population reduction agenda. Well, in the United States, they are implementing that agenda under the guise of saving money for Medicare and Medicaid. Right now, there's 100 million Americans on Medicare and Medicaid. those bureaucracies account for over 50% of the annual federal budget. So they've convinced these doctors and nurses through the spirit of collectivism that those population groups need to be eliminated to save the budget.
I get it. That's the thing I'm dealing with right now. I was told, you know, I had some divine intervention. They said, go to the Social Security office. It's someone who works in the system. And, you know, because I want to get out of Medicare, and I know you can get out of it, but I'm hitting that age, and I don't want to be on it. So I'm just saying.
I thought women aren't supposed to tell their age.
I don't care. Don't care. This is my 60th, 50th year or whatever, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, I am collecting all the solicitations to do the copay for Medicare. And it's like burgeoning. It's this burgeoning thing in the back of my car. It's like I never gave you permission to, you know, give out my address. You know, it just like this is not cool. I want out of it. You know, it's not something I signed up for. So yeah.
That's right on.
Yeah. And everyone's like, all my friends that, you know, I have locally and stuff, and a couple that moved, they said, when you find out, because they're like my same age, you know, and they're like, tell me, make sure you tell me what the trick is, you know, save everyone time, because nobody wants to be on it my age. You know, they already know, especially after this nonsense, you know, and we know the agenda. It's huge. It's a depopulation agenda with euthanasia going on in the hospitals, as you experienced firsthand. Anyway, there seems to be a lot of people that want me to take callers. So if anyone wants to, you know, ask Scott a question, because I'm familiar enough with the case, and you may not be so much, and you may have some specific questions. So if you have some specific questions, the number to call in is 512-248-8252, and we'll be taking your call right after this next break. So, but yeah, I'm so proud of you, Scott, because that is the most important thing to do when, you know, as, you know, followers of Christ, or not, you know, if you're a spiritual human being on this planet and you know that your life is directed in some way for lessons, we're all here for lessons, and you have some adversity like you had with losing Grace, and you know, realize, look, I'm not the only one. This is happening to a lot of people. This is wrong. And you ended up broadcasting your case and getting a whole team of people that were totally perfect for making your story go national. And I'm just really proud of you, you know, taking, you know, the time to, you know, fight for what is right. And it's really important that you, you know how important your stand is for a lot of other people, because there's a lot of people that would just roll over, you know. And
well, I appreciate that encouragement. You know, the reality is God knew that the situation would light a fire under my lazy rear end, and now, I mean, I have never worked so hard in my life. This is more than a full-time commitment. This is huge. It's at least 70 hours a week.
Well, it is. It is huge. You know, I think I told you I lost my husband, twice. I mean, they were determined to kill him, but it was very creepy. And I have all the medical records, but he told me from the other side, no, you don't, you know, it's a waste of time. You have another work. You got to keep doing what you're doing. You know, he didn't want me to, you know, go where you're going, because I already had other stuff I needed to do. You know what I mean? I need to save people by teaching them how not to be on drugs, you know, and how to take care of their body and how their body actually works. That's always been my passion, because it's not rocket science how your body works. You know, it's really common sense. You know, make sure your eliminative channels are unplugged, and I mean, I'm big into colon cleansing, because that's a major eliminative channel. You know, I've saved so many people's lives just with my colon aboard, you know, which is a kind of a cross between a colonic and a enema, you know. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many people's lives I've literally saved with that piece of equipment. And then I ozonate the water. So you're putting oxygen in there, too, in the same time. I mean, it is, you know, I mean, for less than $300, you can set it up in your bathroom, you know, or, you know, and just and save someone's life instead of going to the hospital. So if you had that for grace, you would, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, that would have been my go-to. I'm just saying, that's just what I do. Other people that have been really, really sick, they, you know, they've had some kind of, you know, bacteria or, you know, something that, you know, they want to give them some, you know, horrible drug like Cipro for a young girl. I saved her. You know, they were giving her Cipro. This is, a, you know, black box drug for a 9-year-old. I mean, that's illegal, but they were doing it. And after one dose, she had such a severe reaction. I told the mom, what are you doing? That's a dangerous drug. Bring her over to my house. And yeah, wow. just doing a Coloma a couple times. That was it. That was all it took. You know, so I'm just saying these are real basic things. You know, saunas, you know, getting your skin, you know, sweating out the poison. It's always some kind of poison, you know. So any kind of parasites or anything, they're feeding off toxins in the body. So you got to figure out, you know, opening up those major eliminative channels and doing some kind of, you know, modified fasting, you know. But I, you know, I could tell people all this kind of stuff. But when you're in that crisis, you know, people want to go to a white coat, you know, because they think, well, they're trained. You know, it's the authority exactly. mystique. You know, it's always the authority mystique. So anyway, oh, well, I guess we never ended up on a commercial. Well, that's nice, Frank. I told everyone I was going to take callers after this next break. So, yeah, anyone can call if they want to call and talk to Scott, because it's really an honor to have him take out a Saturday night to come on our show. So we do have a caller. So Mary in Montana, welcome to the show, Mary.
Hi, Ingrid. Hello,
Scott. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Can you hear me good enough?
Absolutely.
You can hear? Okay, good. Great. This is so cool. I just got in on the show, so I'm kind of late. And you had mentioned, Ingrid, that he was going to be on. Hello, Scott. And
hello.
Very good information. But I have a twin sister that worked at Baylor in Texas for 18 years, and she's a heck of a nurse, but luckily, I turned her around about the vaccines and drugs and got her off all of them. But between her and I together, I do holistic and she does the other thing. So we worked on my husband and Sacred Heart. Now, if you get a doctor that doesn't agree to do what you want, fire him immediately. I fired two of them out the door in Sacred Heart before they even got the first sentence out of their mouth.
That's right on.
The way they treated
them. That is 100%. So, you are hiring the doctor, and if they're not willing to follow your directives, you have the right to fire them.
And also the protocols of the hospital is that, and because they wouldn't let people in during COVID, it was because of this. The protocol of the hospital is that the doctors and nurses are supposed to treat the patient's loved ones as if they were patients themselves. That's the protocol. And they dropped that protocol during COVID so the people couldn't have protection. But the first thing I tell people to do is, number one, write down all your demands and what you want, what you don't want, and tell them to put it on the front of the chart, not in the chart. Tape it directly to the front, because doctors do not read charts.
Yeah, I think that's outstanding advice. The form that Mary's talking about is what Ingrid, you and I talked about earlier, is on Grace's OurAmazingGrace.net under the Hospital Rescue tab. The medical directives form is pre-populated with suggestions, and then there's room for other things that would be unique to your personal situation.
Mm-hmm. Right, but my sister always told me, she goes, if you want to really get recognized in there, you don't put that form in the chart. You put it directly in, tape it on the front. That's the first thing the doctor sees.
I think that's fantastic. Great. That's right on. They're lazy just like the rest of the population.
Exactly. Exactly. And if it's taped to the front where they don't even have to open the book or the page or the paper, then that's exactly what they see right off the get-go. So, yeah, I've fought for many people in the hospitals, and I'll tell you what, you have to be, you can't be afraid, and you can fire them.
Yeah, it is not the place to be nice.
No, it's the place to be downright mean, if you have to be mean. Because, and also, nowadays you need to ask for their certification of being a doctor and a nurse, because apparently they're shuffling people in with no degrees.
Yeah, Nurse Erin, who is in the documentary, she shared that, and I've gotten to know her more specifically, and she was shocked by that, because she was a nurse as her career, and when COVID came on, she saw that craziness where they had people that were not even MDs. They were they're in the hospital making decisions that they weren't qualified to do.
Mm-hmm. I saved my daughter out of Kootenai Kill. They put her on remdesivir. I told her to take a picture of the bag. She took a picture of the bag. They had it turned around backwards so that they couldn't figure out what was on it. And then 2 days later, they put her on a kidney diet. She's a vegetarian. They put her on a kidney dialysis diet. And I said, get her the hell out of that hospital, because they're killing her. They've got her on remdesivir, and they won't tell her. So she jerked the cords out, and she was out of that hospital in 4 days.
Well, you saved her life. That's exactly, we did this similar thing to Robert with Robert Pazer. I mean, you literally saved her life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to be a bully. I mean, literally, all of us nice people have to turn into a bully now. It's terrible. So, but I mean, you really got to have a brave heart and stand up for the people you love and yourself. So, but anyway, that's all I had to say, Ingrid and Scott, and thank you very much for your time.
Oh,
thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. Yeah, love you too. So you just need to know, we do have another commercial break, but coming up, but I just want everyone to know that Mary is the one who was with me while they were killing my husband, and I was in shock and awe. I couldn't even stand up. She is the person you want to have with you, and she is absolutely fearless. She goes in there and tells him the what for. Yeah, her daughter would not be alive if it weren't for her. She was freaked out when she found out they took her to the hospital. She says, oh, my God, not at this time. So there you go. So, yeah, she's amazing.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
So the number, if you want to call in, is 512-248-8252. So we have Mark in Texas. Welcome to the show, Mark. Ah, well, I guess Mark from Texas called. I guess you can call back in, Mark. And right now we don't have any other callers, so we can continue our discussion here. We only have less than a half hour, and I know it's getting late for you for working as much as you are on this thing. So what are some of the things that I've missed asking you? I mean, I've asked you plenty of stuff, but I'm sure I've missed some things, Scott, that you feel like are highlights in your particular case.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is regarding Grace's hospital stay. I want to give people a perspective as to the bias. And then I would like to talk a little bit about how they have implemented this agenda in the United States. We were first. So relative to the bias, this is, you know, of course, you see these in the records afterwards. When you're in the hospital, you think that, well, these guys are just aloof, you know, they're doctors, et cetera. But the bias, just in the first day's doctor's report, so this is from the COVID expert. He referenced that Grace had Down syndrome four times, that she was not vaccinated twice, that we're Christian twice, and we're following the frontline doctor's misinformation campaign twice. His last sentence in the first day report said, I think the patient probably would not be here if she had been fully vaccinated. So you can see the bias. You know, it's plain as day when you look at the reports. And, you know, as it applies to Obamacare. Obamacare is the license that they put in place for these doctors to legally kill us. And if you're not familiar with Obamacare, it was passed on March 23rd of 2010. Ezekiel Emanuel was the chief architect of Obamacare, and his view of medical care in the United States was from this 1996 quote. And so I'm quoting, "Services provided to individuals who are irreversibly prevented from being or becoming participating citizens are not basic and should not be guaranteed." So he's telling us that we don't deserve medical care if we are non-participating citizens, which everybody on Medicare and Medicaid is non-participating. So now, as I mentioned earlier, those bureaucracies account for over 50% of the federal budget. So when you drill down Obamacare, and I'd encourage anybody listening to do this, just Google it. You'll see that you can download the PDF. It's 906 pages long. On page 141 is the legal license to kill. It's section 1553. And what that section says, and I'm going to quote here, the government, so I paraphrased their definition of government, but now the quote, "The government may not subject an individual, that's a doctor, or institutional healthcare entity, that's a hospital, nursing facility, hospice care facility, to discrimination on the basis that that entity does not provide any healthcare item or service furnished for the purpose of causing or for the purpose of assisting in causing the death of an individual, such as by assisted suicide, euthanasia, or mercy killing." So they're telling us already in 2010 that they are going to kill non-participating citizens by assisted suicide, euthanasia, or mercy killing. They already said it. It's in writing. And it was passed by Congress. The Republicans, the Democrats, they're all in on it. The yep. Republicans did not repeal it. So don't look to Congress for solutions. I mean, it's not going to happen from Congress. They're part of the problem, and they're a big part of the problem. This, you're very familiar with the legislation that Reagan signed back in 1986, giving immunity from liability for all vaccines. That's right. Insanity. So now it completely took away the incentive to manufacture something safe. And I would make the case that there's no such thing as a safe vaccine, because that discounts what God's plan is. You know, we don't need to vaccinate. So, you know, even saying the word safe vaccine is an oxymoron.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, actually, Reagan was very hesitant because he saw, you know, by releasing the pharmaceutical industry of all liability, they already had captured the CDC, NIH, and Health and Human Services, and the FDA. So, you know, once you have the government funding research and development, marketing, and guaranteed purchases of large lots of money, the only thing left that they needed to be held liable. And you take that away, and it's 100% pure profit industry, you know, with huge markup. So that was that. Reagan was actually hesitant to, and then they've changed it. They've actually changed it over and over again, so that it's impossible to get any justice in their special courts. They have special courts. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. So anyway, and the Obamacare thing is huge. That is really huge. And people still like to think that there's solutions, but all of Congress is actually blackmailed. I don't know if you realize that. They all take an oath to the AIPAC. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, no. They all take an oath that goes above and beyond our country's interest to the American-Israel Political Action Committee. And if they refuse to do that oath, they're redistricted out. Cynthia McKinney exposed that, and they redistrict her out. And anyone that won't sign that, and it's a treasonous oath. So every one of them is committing treason. So I'm just saying that's a fact.
Now that you explained the details, I remember reading about that. You know, there's so much that is coming at me. I really limit what I go down the rabbit holes on because I'm trying to stay in the hospital murder lane to the extent that I can.
Right. Okay, well, we do have Mark. He came back. So, Mark, sis, welcome back. I'm glad we got you back on the line.
How to do, y'all?
Right.
Hi, Mark.
It's Lark, L-A-R-K.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I hesitated to call because I hate to sound like a broken record, but, you know, I'm almost 69 years old, and I've been going round and round with this so-called medical industry for quite a long time. And so for whatever it's worth to you, Scott, I dropped a couple of links in the chat room, in Greece chat room, immunizewisely.chitango.com, regarding the research of a woman named Catherine Watt.
Yes, I'm familiar with her. She's fantastic. Yep. I've cited her research in one of the long, I've written a couple of papers in the last year, and I cited her research in one of my papers.
Well, good. You know, the more minds that can get together on this thing, the better. I also would like to remind the listeners that this so-called Obamacare and what has been euphemistically called the Affordable Care Act was actually fully titled the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And it was the work largely of a man by the name of Jonathan Gruber, G-R-U-B-E-R. And we can look these things up and we can determine for ourselves what the facts are. Some of the older listeners of RBN might remember that Deanna Spingola used to feature the work of Dr. Paul Byrne years ago, B-Y-R-N-E. And so what happened is in 1968, they actually changed the language of the law to fit the new language of the standard of care. And so the listeners can actually do some research and check out that thing. It's only about an hour long. Simply Spingola, S-P-I-N-G-O-L-A, spingola.com/LARK, L-A-R-K dot H-T-M-L, and listen to that. But what we have today is we actually have a legalized system of not only euthanasia, but murder for profit, poison for profit. And so I don't want to belabor that. I think anybody with a lick of sense can see that. But I guess the reason I called is because I thought I heard you or Ingrid, either one of you, say that the doctors and the nurses were actually financially incentivized. Did I hear that correctly?
I'm not sure about the individual doctors and nurses. I am positive about the hospitals. I have some anecdotal. I know that I have an anecdotal story about a nurse because I've been on the radio a number of times. One of the radio station managers told me that a nurse sent the radio station an anonymous donation because she saw that bonus she received as blood money. I've been in contact with Stu Peters multiple times. He sent me documentation to show the doctors are receiving bonuses, individual bonuses for the jab. But I don't know about the financial motivations for murdering people like Grace.
Well, I guess travel nurses are getting $100 an hour. I'd say that's pretty good financial incentive. Keep your mouth shut and not make waves. But let me just conclude with this. These young people that go through medical school, dental school, law school, many university fields of study, but especially doctors and attorneys. These people are subjected, and this is provable, they are subjected to trauma-based mind control, conditioning, and programming. These people don't have an opportunity to challenge the science and ask questions because all they give a damn about is getting through their course loads, passing the test, and moving on, and then eventually into the workforce so that they can make bank. These people cannot be trusted. They are no different than zombies and criminals. And I'll just conclude my remarks with that because, you know, Ingrid, okay, that I get really passionate about these things.
And we have other callers. So, Lark, I so appreciate it. And I want everyone to know I have Shannon Rowan's book here. I posted it at backlib.org. You just click on the book that's on the homepage, and you can get right to Shots Fired. It's just shy of 800 pages. But she does document the mind control that's done in medical schools and all of that. Everything that, you know, Lark was talking about, she pretty much documented it very clearly in her book, which is why it's 796 pages with notes. And it's an excellent, excellent book and everything that we know to be true. So I would encourage anyone to get it from VacLib. I'm just
Ingrid, can I say, let me say one last thing. Since 9/11, all law enforcement in this country is communitarian law. And at the heart and at the root of communitarian law is Talmudic law. Until we get this and realize that the same law that is used in the European Union has been superimposed and rolled out across the world in this time of hyperconnectivity, that we're not going to ever get it, that this is a different way of thinking. When we talk about things like epidemiology, which is what people like Christine Grady and Anthony Fauci observe and realize it has nothing to do with patient care at all. And then when we realize that this Talmudic form of justice system is very much a departure from anything that we've ever known in our lives, unless you happen to be Jewish. So anyway, that's what I'll conclude with. Thank you.
I get it. I get the whole communitarianism, but thank you. I appreciate it. So we have the next caller. Mike in Kentucky, can you keep it to a question? Everyone just needs to keep it to a question. That was a long commentary by Lauren.
That big burst of static interrupted what you said. Can I do what?
Just keep it to a question. Let's do questions. Too many comments.
Yeah. Well, I guess, have you seen the and I've been jumping around between different tabs, but here's a meme I ran across. Apparently near his deathbed, Louis Pasteur said, "Bernard was right, I was wrong. The pathogen is nothing. The terrain is everything," which is kind of what you're getting at. Clean up your temple.
Yeah.
And your body does the rest. Instead of vaccinations to try to augment the immune system, get your immune system tuned up.
Right.
Without the vaccine.
Yeah. That's exactly what we talk about, you know, in our last support group is
well, it's hard to find. It's been
vaccine.
Censored, but have you seen the clip where the Brady Bunch couldn't be killed off by the measles? I had the measles. I had chicken pox. I had mumps. I didn't have those shots because I had it.
Right, I get it.
They're censoring stuff.
Do you know? Well, I'm just saying, Shannon Rowan. I mean, if you really should get that book, Mike, Shots Fired. You know, vaccines. You know, it's all about everything that we know. It goes into the history of this. She talks about resonance. You know, the totally undermines the germ theory, the virus theory, all of that. You know, because most people don't even know about what resonance is. But resonance is kind of like the zeitgeist of the body when you're in proximity. And that's why they've never been able to isolate the measles virus. They've never been able to isolate any of these viruses and have it actually follow those, postulates, Koch's postulates, and then Rivers' postulates. None of them have ever been able to do that. So it's totally unprovable. There's no science behind it. So
mRNA injections, supposedly they have admitted, I don't know, in 2021, that it actually could alter human DNA.
Right.
So the shot seems to be more about, like Bill Gates jokes about or talks about, being a some software.
Yeah, but it's like about transhumanism. Ray Kurzweil. I mean, they've been talking – Roy Kurzweil anyway. They've been talking about transhumanism, you know, ever since 2010 and 11, that they were really full force on, you know, this whole transhumanist agenda, you know, kicking out the soul and turning us into biorobots, and this is what the shot was about. And I felt it. But anyway, Mike, we have other callers.
All right, thanks.
But thank you, Mike. Yeah, let's try to keep on point. So we have Quince in Florida. Welcome to the show, Quince.
Thank you. This is a really interesting show. I have the website up, Our Amazing Grace. I plan on reading the whole thing and watching the film as well. Thank you for having this guest. I just have a quickie, kind of going up with what Lark was saying. I have a book called The New Abnormal, The Rise of the Biomedical Security State by Aaron Kiriati, MD. And he was on the ethics committee, a teaching medical doctor at a university for 20 years. And when he said, I have problems with taking an experimental vaccine, they fired him. That was a real big wake-up call for him. And wow. This book is all about it and what he discovered. The whole matrix, the whole legal assembly, how the whole thing works. It's in line with everything you guys are talking about. It's a good book.
Yeah, I'm actually very interested in that book. So, Quince, if you email me the title and more details, can you do that? I would really appreciate it.
Yep, yeah, just send it to...
I'm sorry, send it to info@vaccinetruth.com.
info@vaccinetruth.com. Will do. Yep. Great show. Thank you for having this guest on.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, thank you so much, Quince. I really appreciate it. So, we don't actually have any callers. We did have Pat in Fort Worth. She dropped. So... I know there's plenty of stuff that you want to share with us. I mean, we have a pretty astute audience. They're very thankful to be able to hear about, you know, your activism and getting this information out. Because, you know, while a lot of our listeners, they know what's going on, it's really good to hear someone like you come alive over this wrongful death and spread it to more people. You know, because sometimes we feel like we're in an echo chamber, you know?
Yes.
I mean, and I know you're kind of feeling that way, too. I mean, people, you know, you're wanting to get outside that echo chamber and reach some of these people. But their whole mind control, you know, has been so effective, you know, through the news. I mean, I don't know if you remember, Scott, but remember the free TVs that Obama gave everyone?
Yes.
That
was all part of the programming.
Right. Yeah, those types of TVs, the, you know, HDTV, you know, all that stuff is the high definition. That is all part of the subliminal programming, you know. And so it kind of goes on from there.
It's interesting. I think it was Lark that said, and we're sort of, you don't know me well enough to know that I have a corny sense of humor, but I'm going to share this right now because it is, I like to at least weave in some humor when I can. Grace had such a great sense of humor. So anyway, Obamacare, he called it outright. It's called the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. This is part of the programming, right? They label these things so that, you know, when I share, I mean, it was the License to Kill, but they call it patient protection. Right, it's a lie in the word. So this is very common. So the CARES is the Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security, the PREP Act, Public mm-hmm. Readiness and Emergency Preparedness. These sound great, right? In the UK, then their equivalent of the NIH is NICE, the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence. I mean, they're doing the same thing in the UK. HHS, Health and Human Services. So this is all part of the programming. So then I'm going to overlay my sense of humor. I've only shared this twice before on air. So you ready? Yep. I think they should all be called Bohica.
And Bohica is?
Bend over, here it comes again.
Well, what is smartphones? Well, you know what SMART stands for? How many people know what SMART stands for?
I don't.
Okay, so get this. It's self-monitoring and reporting technology. So anytime you buy anything smart, you are self-monitoring yourself and reporting to whoever is on the other end of the technology you're using.
That's right on. I mean, at 9/11, of course, we gave up. We always fall for security and comfort. And, you know, that is by far and away outside of fear. So fear is what Satan's program is. That's how he's going to use it again. If it's going to be nuclear, you know, hologram right. technology, I don't know what's coming next, but it's going to prey EY on our fear. And ultimately, I personally believe that Satan will reinvent himself as an angel of light and then provide a security and comfort solution. Look at what we did with 9/11. We gave up our rights to privacy because we wanted security and comfort. It's what we do every time because we're too lazy to realize what's going on. And I'm not lazy anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you have to literally be discerning. You know, wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. I mean, this is very important. And fear, we have a saying, fear is false evidence appearing real. So, you know, we don't really need to, as soon as you feel that fear coming on for anything, it's best to turn it over and ask the Holy Spirit to help, you know, read a psalm. I mean, do whatever it takes, but know that you're going to be protected. I mean, I have affirmations I do that God is my protection. I'm having a hard time, you know, dealing with living in the city from the country because I'm, you know, radiation sensitive. And this has been, you know, challenging for me. But I keep having to turn it over instead of, you know, feeling like I have to be in a hazmat suit just to go out. I'm really trying to turn it over, you know. I'm trying to remember, you know, turn it over, have faith and trust. You know, there was a news item I missed. I'll put it in the chat room, and I'm going to give you a link so you can look over some of the stuff that's in the chat room, Scott, and I'll send it to you because there's a lot of really great stuff that's shared that I think you might find enlightening. And, you know, right now the 5G rollout that's happening everywhere is interfering with the airplanes. The airplanes have to it's not necessarily safe to go on an airplane, just so you know. You know, that's a whole other thing. Yeah, because it interferes with their controls and ability to land. So they're trying to outfit the planes to deal with the 5G. So, I know. Yeah, it goes on and on. So,
thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, well, I so appreciate your work, Scott, and everyone else does too. So I think you're going to get a lot of signups because this case is really important. And write down July 14th. It's Friday, July 14th on your calendar. 10 a.m. Central Time. This is a very important case. So God bless you, and thank you to all the listeners. Appreciate it.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.